Psalm 37, boy, what a what a psalm. I'm just going to give you the first word and a couple of the verses here in a moment, but let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, you thank you for your many blessings. Thank you, Lord, for so many visitors. And Lord, thank you for filling up the pews with them. We just praise you and give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, we thank you for gracing us with your presence, those that are from afar and those that are near. We like each and every one of you, and we appreciate you. If you look at Psalm 37, the Bible starts out with verse 1, fret not. And then verse 3, trust in the Lord. Verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Verse 7, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. And it goes on, but I don't think I'll get much further than that. Lord willing, maybe I will. But when you look at the Bible, he says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, and so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. And you could go on to verse 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. So as you look at these verses, boy, there's a lot there. But it starts off with fret not, and if you'll remember, it's mentioned several times in there. Fret means to be agitated or worry. That's why I was telling Hope, you know, don't fret. You know, I put her on the spot. She played the piano. Tremendous. What a blessing that is to be prepared to serve God at any moment. And you never know where you're going, what'll happen. But God is good. Fret not thyself. But when you look at the context of fretting, in here it's talking about evildoers and us believers looking at them and wondering, well, why do they seem to have all the blessings? He says, fret not. Don't worry about that. It's all going to be taken care of by God. Fret not thyself because of evil doers, neither be thou envious against the workers' iniquity. You see, sometimes we look out there and we say, why do they keep getting away with it? Why does it seem like the world's going to pot and people that are evil are in control and they seem to have all the money, the power, the prestige? Listen, if you look deep down, you'll find out that they're miserable people inside. The more you live like the world, the less peace you will have. I want of all things peace. You can say, well, you can have all the money in the world. I hate to tell you, I'd rather have peace. You know, I was looking at, and I'll give you this, Cornelius Vanderbilt. He was from 1794 to 1877. When he died, he was worth $105 million. In 1860, the gross domestic product before the Civil War was $63 million. He was valued at more than the GDP of America at that time. His son, William, he said this, the care of 200 million is enough to kill anyone. There is no pleasure in it. You see, being rich isn't the answer. Now, you don't want to be poor. And by the Bible says, Lord, don't let me be rich, don't let me be poor. Because there are problems with each one. You just need to be just sort of satisfied with wherever God puts you. Really, that's the key. But he says, fret not, fret not. If you look in 1 Samuel chapter 1, don't turn there, but Hannah said she had an adversary, and she was told to fret not. Look at Proverbs 24. In the same context of what we're looking at, if you turn over to Proverbs 24... look at verse 19, and we're going to come back to Proverbs 24 at least once more. But Proverbs 24:19 says, "Fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked." Now, why would God have to repeatedly tell us not to be envious of the wicked? I remember when I first got saved, I'm just going to confess it to you. I thought this. I thought, man, I wish I'd have gotten saved later in life so that I could sow some more wild oats. Man, that's a dumb thing to think. But I thought that. I thought, man, I'm so constrained. I can't do this, and I can't do that, and I can't do that. And listen, I thought those things, and then I realized how foolish that was. You know what I was? I was envious of evil men. I was envious of the world. I was envious with what they got away with, and I didn't get away with it. Because God would convict me. God would slap me upside the head and say, "You dummy, don't do that. It's not a good thing." And He still does, but I'm not envious. I'm not envious with anything because I've watched God work in my life and bless me exceedingly abundantly above all that I could ask or think according to the power that worketh in me. I've watched God do that. All I had to do was turn my life over to Him and He took care of all the details. I wouldn't trade for the world. I wouldn't trade anything for my salvation. Did I think that at one time? Sure, I was just as young and dumb as anybody else. It's foolish to think that. He says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers." Listen, are you worried about what other people are doing to you? How they're treating you? How they mistreat you? How they say things that are unfair? How they seem to get away with it? You know what you ought to do? You ought to pray for them. The Bible says, pray for your enemies. Pray for your enemies. Oh, yeah, pray God strike them down. That's not a good idea either. You shouldn't pray imprecatory prayers. That means God judge them. You ought to pray that God would let them see the truth. That God would help them to understand the error of their ways. Listen, if you draw nigh unto God, He'll draw nigh unto you. And the more that He draws nigh unto you, the more He's right there to put His arms around you and hug you and just love on you. And listen, you get to love on Him and it's real. It's real. It's not fake. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Don't be envious against the workers of iniquity. Verse 2, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. You see, that's future though. You know what we want? We want it here and now. We want God to come in and just handle all of our problems. And our problems are generally people. I don't know about you, but my biggest problem in this world is not things. My car doesn't break down much. Oh, goodness. And listen, I didn't just jinx myself. Okay? But my car isn't in the shop every week. Used to be. You know, I don't have a bunch of flat tires. Of course, I put new tires on the truck, finally. I had a hard time. Still had tread on there, but it was wearing bad and, you know, had to do it. It's hard for me to sometimes let go of the money and, you know, I'm like, man, I want to run it down to where it's just smooth. Not really, but, you know. Down here, it's a little bit better unless you have a big rain. Look at verse 3, though. Look at what he says. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. You know, one of the greatest things to learn how to do is to trust in the Lord. It's not an easy thing. Everything's going wrong or things aren't going the way they should or you've got something in your life that's bothering you. It's hard to trust in the Lord. But look at what it says. And do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. And then he says, so shalt thou dwell in the land, Israel. That's who we're talking about. And verily thou shalt be fed. Trust the Lord. He'll take care of everything. With food and raiment, we ought to be content. That's what the Bible says. Has anybody sleep under the stars last night? Well, he's blessed you exceeding abundantly. You see, if he's given you food and raiment, that's enough. But if he's put a roof over your head, he's given you air conditioning, he's given you a family, friends, a job if you need one, unless you're retired, a good golf swing if that's what you're into, whatever it is. I was just thinking of Doug when I said that, you know, the good golf swing. He would love that. He says, and listen, he'll take care of you in the land, talking to Israel. He'll feed them. Can you imagine when they left Egypt and they went through that wilderness and you saw and you read about it in the Bible and he feeds all those people for 40 years? Can he take care of you? He can take care of you. The problem we have is he doesn't do it the way we think he should. He ought to do it this way. This is the right way. And then we get our will involved. We get ourselves too involved. And we think, well, God has to do it my way or he's not taking care of me. He takes care of you, whether you know it or not. Look at the next verse. Delight thyself also in the Lord. And here's one that's misquoted, mistaught many times. And he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You go, oh, well then, if I just delight myself in the Lord, he'll give me everything I desire. That's not what the Bible says. It says he'll give thee the desires of thine heart. Your heart has desires. Where'd they come from? If they came from the world, God isn't going to fulfill those. What if the desires come from God? He will take care of that. So what does the verse say? It says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he'll give you what? He'll give you the right desires. You know what the problem with most of us are is we have the wrong desires. We want this. We want that. We expect that. We even demand that. You know what God says? If you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the right desires. And then he'll fulfill those desires that he gives you. They're according to his will. So when you pray, not my will, but thine be done, he gives you that desire to serve him, to love him, to live for him, to talk to others. I was at Lowe's yesterday. I was building a float for the parade. And with another group in Fort Walton, and they needed some red paint, and they needed a palette, and they needed some rollers and all that. So we went in, and I walked in, and I told the lady, I said, "Hey, I need a palette." "A palette of what?" "Well, you see, I just need a palette." So then I said, "Well, I just need a palette." And she starts laughing. She says, "You know, people come in and they ask me that, and it's like they want a palette of paint, or they want a palette of wood, or they want a palette of 2x4s or 4x4s. She says, "A palette of what?" So we got her laughing. And she looks at me and she says, "Usually they tell, you know, $25, but you just find a palette and you can have it." I'm like, "Man, that is cool. That's cool." Now this was Home Depot. I told him, I said, "Look, I usually go to the other place, the other guys." He says, "I appreciate you saying that." I said, "Well, listen, I've been in North where you have Ohio State and Michigan, and Ohio State says the school up north. They don't even mention the M name." "Really? That's the way it works." So I said, "The other guys," and he says, "Well, I appreciate that." And he says, I said, "Do you get a military discount?" He says, "Yeah." He says, "Well, what's your phone number?" I said, "Look, I'm not registered here." He said, "Well, I'll just give it to you anyway." And he took the 10% off. And we walked out of there. I was with another guy, and we were talking about the Lord to the people and stuff, and he was saying, "You know, I probably need to talk about the Lord more," and he's mentioning that. And listen, I'm just telling you, it is fun to be a Christian. I enjoy life. I really do. I enjoy doing what I'm doing. I enjoy talking to people about the Lord. I enjoy seeing people that are blessed by God and hearing about the blessings, because it just shows that God is real in their life. What greater thing for a pastor than to see God working in people's lives? Listen, he doesn't work the same for everybody. He doesn't work at the same pace for everybody. Sometimes people are back here and they've got a standoffish attitude toward God, and God keeps trying to break through. Listen, sooner or later he'll break through, likely. But it takes time. It takes patience. You got to wait upon the Lord. You got to delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of thine heart. You know what the desires of my heart is? Well, I could tell you a lot of different desires, but my greatest one is to glorify him and please him. If I can tell you anything, glorify God and please him. Glorify God. How do you glorify him? Please him. How do you please him? Glorify him. It's one and the same, really. But he says he'll give you the desires of your heart. He will give you the right desires, and it is the engine that motivates. If you have the right desires, it will motivate you to do the right thing. Live the right way. Be the right way for him. Look at what he says there in verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Commit thy way unto the Lord. What do you do when you commit? Well, we tell people, well, you need to make a commitment. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Have you ever made a commitment to God? And by the way, if you make a commitment, you better keep it. It's like a vow. You make a vow to God, you better keep it. You're better off not making a vow than to make a vow and break the vow. But commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. He shall bring it to pass. Verse 6, and He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and the judgment as the noonday. It talks about thy righteousness. Now, we all know if you've studied the Bible, you have the righteousness of Jesus Christ applied to your account. What is that? Well, the Bible says, God hath made Him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in Him. That we might be made the righteousness of God. In other words, what we get because we put our sin upon Him on that cross. That's what happened. And we don't physically do it. God put our sin upon Him. And then when we get saved, He gives us His righteousness. That's called the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You have that if you're saved. All your sins, past, present, future, taken care of, they're gone. And then in return, He gives you His righteousness. But you also have a personal righteousness. And that's what He's talking about here. He talks about in verse 6, He says, thy righteousness as the light. You see, you also have a personal righteousness, a personal responsibility. You see, what we need to do in our lives is we need to take our attention off of the temporal and get focused on the eternal. Get focused on the eternal. That's what we need. When you look at desires, I want to go into that. That was back there in verse 4. I want to go in and talk about desires. It talks about it in 1 Timothy 3, 1. It talks about the desire, anybody that desires the office of a bishop. Look at Romans chapter 10. We'll run a couple of references on this one. Romans chapter 10, look at verse 1. For all of those of you that are comfortable out there, I will tell you, I am sweating up here. I turned up 2 degrees for y'all. Anybody hot out there? It's warm back there. Well, you know what? I got a unanimous vote right there, so that's what happens when you keep quiet. Anyway, now it's down to 72. See, like I'm tripping. I'm starting to get famished. That's food. Romans 10:1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He said, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel. Paul had a desire. He said in verse 2, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. You see, spiritually, before you get saved, your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. There's none good, no, not one. There's not one thing you can do to help in your salvation. All you do is trust in the Lord. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Once you do that, and He comes and He lives in you, the Bible says He gives you His righteousness, and it'll change everything about you. It'll make you forgiven, blessed. Look at another verse. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, about this desire. Look at what he says in verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. You know what you ought to do as a newborn baby? Desire the sincere milk of the Word. And then as you grow, you ought to desire the meat of the Word so you can grow even more. You know what I like? I'm allergic to milk, so I don't like milk much. But when I was younger Christian, boy, I wanted that milk of the Word. Now, you know what I want? I want to be carnivorous. I want to eat that meat. I want to eat the meat of the Word because the meat is what's going to give me strength and give me understanding and help me to go through this life and help me to know what to do, how to do it, when to do it. He says, desire the milk of the Word. He says in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first what? Kingdom of God. You seek God first in all you do. If you seek Him first, everything else is added. Everything else is just a natural byproduct of God and relationship. But what we do is we get the cart before the horse. I want. I must have. I need. When God says no, seek Him first. Seek Him first. And then when He gives you the desires of your heart, you know how content you can be? If your desires are wrong, it's hard to be content. Okay? If God gives you the desires and then fulfills the desires that He gives, what greater life is there? There is no greater life. There is no greater life than to get everything that you desire. As long as God gives you the desires. Now think. Think about that. God says He'll give you the desires of your heart. And if God gives you desires, don't you think He's also promising to fulfill those desires that He puts in your heart? He's not going to give you the desire for something and then not fulfill it. So you get your cake and you get to eat it too. He gives you the desires and then He fulfills the desires. What a great God. Going back to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. He says again, fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. You see why you're not supposed to fret? He says, fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. We look at the world and we fret. We worry, we get agitated. Don't let them agitate you. Be calm, be cool, be collected. Do not allow the world to get in there and to manipulate you. The closer you get to God, the less people can manipulate you. And the world will want to manipulate. But he says, rest in the Lord. Look at Psalm 62. Psalm 62. Look at verse 1. Truly, my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I will not be greatly moved. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. Look at that. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. And we could go through the whole thing about verse 6, he only is my rock. Verse 7 talks about salvation, the rock. Verse 9, the high degree. You go through that whole psalm and it ought to talk to you. Truly, my soul waiteth upon God. Does your soul wait upon God? Are you content with Him, with your relationship with Him? Philippians 1:6 says, He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He'll perform that good work. The question is, are you satisfied with God? What is the song, He's satisfied with me? I don't even know, what's the song? How does the song go? Satisfied. See, do you know what? Hey, Gary, do you know what number satisfied is? It's my favorite song. Can you look it up? Satisfied. So when you look at being satisfied and how important that is, that song. I don't remember the words. I don't know why. I guess when you get up here, you just sort of forget everything. But it's in the big songbook. I want you to go ahead and pull it out right now. 417? Yes, yeah, satisfied. So look at the words in this song. All my life long, I had panted for a drought from some cool spring that I hoped would quench the burning of the thirst I felt within. So what's he looking for? He's looking for a natural thing to quench a burning that he had within. That's a problem. Verse 2. Feeding on the husks around me till my strength was almost gone, longed my soul for something better, only still to hunger on. So even what the world provided, it wasn't enough. Verse 2-3. Poor I was and sought for riches, something that would satisfy, but the dust I gathered round me only mocked my soul's sad cry. There is no satisfaction except in God. Verse 4. Well of water ever springing, bread of life so rich and free, untold wealth that never faileth, my Redeemer is to me. You see, the only way you're ever going to be satisfied in life is the fourth verse. It's all about Jesus. Well of water ever springing, that's Jesus. Bread of life, so that's the water that he needed in verse 1, the food that he needed in verse 2, bread of life so rich and free, untold wealth. So now you got the money, untold wealth that never faileth. My Redeemer is to me. Hallelujah, I have found it. What my soul so long has craved, Jesus satisfies my longing. Through his blood I now am saved. First thing you got to do is make sure you're a child of God. He'll save your soul. He'll change your life. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Trust in the Lord. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Delight thyself in the Lord. Commit thy way to Him. And then verse 7 says, rest in the Lord. And then it goes on, it says, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. Cease because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Look at what he says in verse 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any way to do evil. See, if you fret, if you sit there and you worry and you worry and you worry, what it'll do is it'll bring evil in your life. You will do things you thought you were never capable of because you fret. Trust in the Lord and you won't fret. Don't look at the world and think, well, they're getting away with everything. Like I said, at some point in my life, early in my days, I think it was when I wasn't living for the Lord. I know it was. It was 1981 to 84, somewhere in there. And I remember thinking, boy, I wish I'd, you know, I guess I wasn't enjoying sin enough. Pleasure in sin for a season. I just wasn't having, you know, in other words, I was fulfilling the lust of the flesh and, you know, the pride of life. And I was fulfilling all of that, but it wasn't fulfilling. And I thought, well, if I just wasn't saved yet, I would enjoy sin more. I mean, I guess that was my thought. Some of you may think that. Too bad. It's a bad thing. It's not fulfilling at all. Delight thyself in the Lord. He goes on, he says, cease from anger there in verse 8. You know, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. He says, be angry and sin not. You know, in other words, don't be angry. But then he says, be angry in other places. An angry countenance turneth away a backbiting tongue. Sometimes you do get angry. The Bible says Jesus looked out at them with anger because there was a cause. Remember when he overthrew the tables and the money changers? He says, why did you make my father's house a house of merchandise? And he overthrew all the tables and he got angry. It's okay to get angry, just don't sin. It's okay to get angry, just don't be unforgiving. It's okay to get angry, just don't take vengeance out on somebody else. Give place to wrath, the Bible says. In fact, I want you to go to Proverbs 24 again. This is where I was earlier, and I told you we'd come back. Proverbs 24, we read verse 19, fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked. But going back to verse 17, or go back to 16, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. He says that a just man does fall. But he gets back up. Verse 17. Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth, lest the Lord see it and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him. He says, don't rejoice. You know, the problem is God can't judge the wicked because how Christians react to it. If you rejoice when God judges the wicked, then God will turn his wrath away from them and not give them what he wanted to do because it negatively impacts believers. That's what he says. So why can't God judge? You say, I want God to judge. I want God to judge. And then God judges and you go, yeah, get him, God. Kill him, God. Annihilate him, God. And God says, that's not why I do that. And then he turns his wrath away and you're looking at it and you're confused. Well, I'll tell you why the confusion exists. Pray for your enemies. Do good to them. That doesn't mean you can do it 100% of the time. Sometimes you'd like to run them over with your truck. That's a natural thought. Don't. Unless you're going to have a prison ministry and you're behind the bars. Go back to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. He says in verse 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. So he says, just wait. I'll tell you what, go over to Proverbs 23. We were over there in 24. I want you to go to Proverbs 23 and look at verse 17. Look at what he says here. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Let not thine heart envy sinners. Why does he have to keep saying that? Because we have a tendency to do that. We have a tendency to look at the world and wish that we could get away with what we think they're getting away with. They're not getting away with it. Number one, they have eternal condemnation. Number two, you don't know what's going on inside. You do not know what goes on inside of evil people. They are the most miserable people. They can put a smile on their face. They can take another drink and drink it down. And you know, you look at that and you go, oh, they're so happy. You remember the cigarette commercials? Some of you may not be old enough. Some of us are. The cigarette commercials, the billboards, everybody's smiling, having a good time. You know why they don't put somebody with a cirrhosis of the liver or cancer in the face or the mouth? They don't put them up there on the billboard because they're selling a product. You know what the devil's doing? He's selling a product. And that product is sin. And that product has an outcome that none of us wants to pay. And he doesn't put that up there for you to see. So when you look at a sinner, or you look at even a Christian that's not living for the Lord, and you think, well, oh, look how great a time they're having. Oh, Facebook, oh, social media. One of the most destructive forces that man has ever created the psychosis of people. I don't even know if that's the right word. The psyche. Do you know I haven't seen one picture of a parent spanking a child on Facebook? I haven't seen one picture of a child sitting at the table having to eat their meal because they refuse to eat it, or being put in the corner. You know, I haven't seen one picture of a child having to stand in the corner, or a video of mom going, I'm going to count to three. One, two, three. Why ain't all that on there? I'll tell you why. Because we pick and choose what we put on social media. What is being conveyed out there? An unrealistic viewpoint, just like they did with people with models. Every model was just perfectly slim and trim, and you know, and you look at them and go, oh, great. They don't tell you about bulimia, anorexia. They don't tell you about all those things that are being created by that institution. Listen, I'm here to tell you there's pleasure in sin for a season, but that's all it is. Sooner or later, it all comes home to roost. So look, don't fret because of evildoers. Verse 10, and this is what we're closing on. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. See, one day God's going to judge the whole thing. He's going to judge it at the judgment seat of Christ for Christians, the great white throne judgment for the lost. And when He comes back, the Bible says He's going to destroy all of His enemies. You say, well, He's finally going to do it. And aren't you glad He didn't do it before you got saved? We forget. Oh, God, judge him. What about you? When you were on the other side. Be careful what you wish for. Be careful what you ask for. Because God is merciful, gracious, and long-suffering, and thank God He is, or I'd have never been saved. Oh, look out there at the world today. God is still in control. And let me add to that something when I was on the radio a lot. Noah Hutchings would say, God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. You know, when you pray, you actually go into the throne room of God. You look at Hebrews, and it talks about it. And it talks about being bold, the boldness of thinking that the God of the universe is listening to you. That's bold. But I have on authority of the Word of God that He is. He listens to you, He cares about you, and He wants to hear from you. Just pray. You say, well, my prayers don't get answered. They do. They do. God answers every prayer. Every prayer is answered. Sometimes it's no. But here's how He answers the prayer. He gives you peace. Let every request be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So you pray, and when God answers your prayer, He doesn't give you always what you ask for, but He gives you peace to accept His will, whatever that may be. That is the answer to prayer. Pray, pray, pray. Let's all stand together. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank You for Your many blessings, guide, lead, and direct in all things. Lord, we thank You for being such a merciful, wonderful God. Lord, we need to always delight ourselves in the Lord. Fret not because of evildoers. Commit our ways to You. Rest in the Lord too. Lord, we need to do all those things that Psalm 37 tells us to do. Help us to be faithful. In Jesus' name. And for His sake, amen. With your head bowed and eyes closed.